God, Star Mom is the Son. You know, you probably noticed that I keep going back to the phrase, the true spirit of the precepts. And before I go on through the particular precepts, I want to say a few words about that, because it's, to me at the moment anyway, it's so incredibly important. If you try to approach the precepts, or the paramitas for that matter, from a more externalized point of view, what you get is a kind of a rough kind of behavioral code. The precepts tell you what not to do, the paramitas tell you what to do. And I think that we can see that, it doesn't take a lot of reflection to see that that's a really unsatisfactory, spiritually really unsatisfactory approach. You know, what is it that's lacking? Well, what's lacking in that approach is just the real essence of religion, why it is we got into this in the first place. You know, when I think about why I started all those years ago training, I didn't start for the purpose of becoming a particularly virtuous individual. You know, I started because I had become acutely aware of my suffering, and I was intuitively drawn to a practice, a teaching and a teacher, a sangha that all of which were leading me to something, you know, deeply religious. To really finding the refuge of my own heart. Without that meaning, you know, what's the point of anything, including the precepts, frankly? What does anything matter without that? So you'll note that precept after precept, River Master is just doggedly sticking to one essential point. The true taking refuge in the eternal. Over and over again, it's the asking, the listening, the following of the eternal, of the Lord of the house. That's what's important. And that illuminates the deep meaning and purpose of each precept. Then, of course, the precepts are vital. Then you really see why we truly need the precepts and why no true spiritual progress is possible without taking the true spirit of the precepts to heart and really making an effort in following the precepts. Precept, do not say that which is not true. And Dogen says, the wheel of the Dharma rolls constantly and lacks for nothing, yet needs something. It lacks for nothing because everything is of the eternal. And it needs something because if we do not live in harmony with truth, if we do not live an upright life, a truthful life, then we fail ourselves. So even though the eternal lacks for nothing, you know, we can lack for something in the way we live our lives. The Master says, the Dharma is truth itself, but it needs expression. He who lies does not allow the Dharma to show itself. He does not allow the Dharma to be expressed. He does not allow the world to see the Dharma wheel in action. And still the sweet dew covers the whole world, including those who lie. And within that dew lies the truth. Note the use of the word, he who lies did not allow the Dharma to show itself. Master was very careful in her choice of words. She does not say, he who lies obliterates the Dharma. Because you can't do that. She says, he who lies does not allow the Dharma to show itself. We mask it over in some way. And to whom do we mask it over? Mostly. Just to ourselves. When our speech and our actions are not in harmony with the deepest truth of things, we blind ourselves to that truth. And even so, that truth rolls right along, and it includes us, and it includes our confusion and our wobbles, and it constantly works to help us, whether at the moment we are helping ourselves or not. The next precept, do not sell the wine of delusion. Well, of course, in the earliest form, this just referred to not indulging in intoxicating substances. But in Soto Zen, these things are given a deeper meaning. And here it extends to delusion itself. Don't intoxicate yourself with delusion. Don't intoxicate others with your delusion. Do not spread your delusions. Dogen says there's nothing to be deluded about. If we realize this, we are enlightenment itself. You might say that Dogen's commentary always goes back to the immaculacy of nothingness, which is just the flip side of what we call the eternal. You can talk about it in a kind of affirmative way, expressing what it is, the eternal. And you can talk about it in the way that says what it is not. It's interesting, the immaculacy of nothingness, which River Master really originated, as far as I know, that combines the two in a lovely way. Rim Master says, and here she's quoting the Diamond Sutra, thus shall you think of all this fleeting world, a star at dawn, a bubble in a stream, a child's laugh, a phantasm, a dream. Then she says, if I hold on to nothing whatsoever, there can be no delusion, nor can there be enlightenment. Then there are no opposites. Thus indeed, we are enlightenment itself, yet always we will have the form and figure of old monks. And always will appear as ordinary people, which is what we are. We're never going to be other than that. If I hold on to nothing whatsoever, there can be no delusion, nor can there be enlightenment. No fixed state of delusion, no fixed state of enlightenment. Just the flow of immaculacy from moment to moment. Sometimes manifesting as what we think of as delusion, sometimes as what we think of as enlightenment. But in neither case impeding the eternal. She's pointing out by emphasizing the holding on, the not holding on, she's emphasizing what happens when people get stuck in delusion or stuck with some intoxicating substance. They're holding on for dear life to something which is an illusion, which is not real. So just by practicing the offering everything to the eternal, the placing everything on the altar of the eternal, the going on beyond, always going on beyond, just by practicing that. The delusions and the clinging fall away naturally. Remember that ideology of any kind is a delusion. This includes ideologies. Don't get stuck in ideologies. The next precept is do not speak against others. Do not speak against the Lord of the house, says our master. Every person, every being is the temple of the Lord wherein the Lord dwells, the still water wherein the dragon lives. The dragon with a capital D, the true dragon, is another expression for the eternal. Of course, there are many different words that are used in Buddhism. She says, if I speak against others, I speak against the Lord of the house. Do not try to divide the Lord of the house. Do not try to cause war within the Lord. Do not try to make the Lord make war upon himself, which, of course, is trying the impossible. Dogen says, in Buddhism, the truth and everything are the same law, the same enlightenment, and the same behavior. Do not allow anyone to speak of another's faults. Do not encourage others to engage in fault-finding. Either passively or actively, do not encourage that. Do not find fault with the Lord of the house, says Ribbon Master. Do not allow anyone to make a mistake in Buddhism. She says, to speak against the Lord of the house is the gravest mistake of which I know. People in the world often seem to think that, you know, it's a criminal act if they strike someone and injure them, but there's like no consequence if they speak against people and injure their reputation. But from the religious point of view, you know, we really hurt ourselves in both cases, and we can hurt others as well. Remember that the Lord of the house is not something external to ourselves. We can recognize the eternal Lord of the house in another and bow to that and speak with respect and tenderness of others. And in so doing, we treat ourselves with respect and with tenderness and vice versa. When we truly treat ourselves with respect, we treat others with respect. It's really interesting how that works. The next precept is, do not be proud of yourself and devalue others. Rebbe Master says, it is enough for me to know the Lord of the house, to know that he dwells within all things. How can there be devaluation of others if they are the temple of the Lord? How can there be pride if all possess equally within the Lord? Dogen's comment on this precept is, every Buddha and every ancestor realizes that he is the same as the limitless sky and as great as the universe. When they realize their true body, there is nothing within or without. When they realize their true body, they are nowhere more upon the earth. Then Rebbe Master concludes, there is nothing to be proud of and nothing to be devalued. Dogen's commentary is very interesting here because he kind of turns it on its head, or seems to. He says, every Buddha and every ancestor realizes that he is the same as the limitless sky and as great as the universe. That could be viewed as egotism, supreme egotism. But in this case, it's not. Because one is realizing that it is the eternal that is the limitless sky and the infinite universe, and that one belongs to the eternal. The eternal does not belong to one, to oneself. Master is saying here, if we recognize the Buddha in others, how can we be proud of ourselves? How can we put ourselves above others or devalue them? And always in the background of each of these precepts is the context in which this is arising for River Master. The context of having been a good while on hands and knees and having really got out of the driver's seat big time, then a really true, complete surrender to the eternal, a true letting go of self. And in that context, the eternal is everything to you. So how could you be swollen-headed if you were remembering that? If you were remembering and valuing what is most precious to you. And yet if we're not careful, we manage to get swollen-headed anyway. Go figure. You know, we always have to watch out for spiritual pride. We really do. It can be very subtle sometimes, and it's always dangerous. The next precept is, do not be mean in giving either dharma or wealth. Her master says, since all possess the Lord, there is nothing to be given and nothing to be taken away. And still all things must be given, all things offered at all times and in all places. This is the offering wholeheartedly to the eternal. She quotes Dogen, one phrase, one verse, the 100 grasses, all contain the Lord, all express the Lord, each in its own way and each perfectly. One Dharma, one enlightenment, every Buddha, every ancestor, says Dogen. Her master says, no difference, nothing greater, nothing smaller, nothing truer, nothing less true. When all is within the Lord, all stand straight together. A million Buddhas stand in one straight line. Out of gratitude to the Buddhas and ancestors, I give Dharma, I give wealth, I give life itself, strength, youth, beauty, wealth, everything that I have. And even then, I cannot give thanks enough for one second of their true training. I can never repay their kindness to me. This is something that, you know, we used to read this a lot when I was a young monk. And this always hit me when we got to this point, when I got to this point in reading the Rigpa Master's precepts commentary. Just the magnificent generosity of spirit and gratitude, the depth of the gratitude being expressed here. Out of gratitude to the Buddhas and ancestors, I give Dharma, I give wealth, I give life itself, strength, youth, beauty, wealth, everything that I have. And even then, I cannot give thanks enough for one second of their true training. I can never repay their kindness to me. If this is the attitude, then how can one be mean-spirited? How can one be stingy in giving either dharma or wealth? Another way to put it is, how can one hang on when the eternal is asking one to offer? She says, only by my own true training is this repayment possible. And then again, there is no repayment. It is just the work of a Buddha. The best you can do is just to be in line with the Buddhas and ancestors and allow what flowed through them to flow through you. That's the best you can do. That's the finest that a human being can do, and that is enough. One can rest content with that, to do that. One needn't ask for more. And in that position, one possesses nothing, even while one is responsible, perhaps, for many things. This is not some kind of abdication of responsibility. The next precept is, do not be angry. There is no retiring, no going, no truth, no lie. There is a brilliant sea of clouds. There is a dignified sea of clouds. These are Dogen's words, and he is here expressing just the dignity and inherent patience of just being still in one's own, within one's own Buddha nature. Sitting, being content within one's own Buddha nature. Because anger begins in frustration. Frustrated longing. And when it gets sufficiently frustrated, it erupts into rage. But if one is just sitting within the contentment, the stillness of the eternal, there is no frustration. There is patience and compassion. Rim Master says, just as that there is that which is going on which causes me to see unclearly, that's when we get frustrated. But if I truly look, if I look with care, I will see that the true and beautiful sky is shining behind the clouds. I may see the Lord of the house. Even in the midst of whatever state we are in, there is always the capacity to instinctively recognize the eternal and take refuge there, if one really wishes to do so and makes the effort. She says, no matter how angry the person is who is with me, I may see in him too the Lord if I am truly looking, if my own ego is out of the way. And in seeing the Lord in him, he can see the Lord in me. The depth of the ocean is still even when there is a great storm upon its surface. Thus should I be when there is anger, knowing that nothing whatsoever can touch the truth. This happens, you know, if you're with an angry person and you become angry, it's like these sparks fly off each other. And there's this rapid kind of acceleration of the whole process. Whereas if you're with someone who's angry and you're being still, it just kind of takes helps take the air out of the balloon. At the very least, it doesn't make it worse. Again, the emphasis is on sitting still within one's own treasure house. Not getting caught up in externals. The last of the ten great precepts, is do not defame the three treasures. Dogen says, to do something by ourselves, without copying others, is to become an example to the world, and the merit of doing such a thing becomes a source of all wisdom. Do not criticize, but accept everything. The teaching that is coming pouring out of Reverend Master at this time, back in 76, is a perfect example of what's expressed in this, in these words of Dogen here. She's certainly not copying others. She's walking the path that many have walked. She's walking it herself. And whether anyone had ever walked it before or not wouldn't fundamentally matter. She knew this was the path she had to walk. And the result of it is this huge outpouring of Dharma. The merit of doing such a thing becomes a source of all wisdom. Do not criticize, but accept everything. Rebbe Master says, the Lord of the house does not always do things in normally accepted ways, nor do the Buddhas and ancestors. Boy, that's the understatement of the year. You know, in training with Zen masters, people really need to remember this. Rebbe Master always used to say, do not drag the teacher's teaching down to your level. Try to rise to the level that the teacher is showing and speaking of. The Buddhas and ancestors are not individual and they are not the same as each other. Each expresses the truth in his own way, as do all things. They do that which they do in their way and express the Lord within it. Do not criticize the way of another. Do not call it into question. Look within it and see the Lord. Look with the mind of a Buddha and I will see the heart of a Buddha. To criticize is to defame the Lord of the house. Love the Lord of the house at all times. Know him, talk to him. Never let a day go by when I do not consult with him, even on the slightest matter. Then I will never, as long as I live, defame the three treasures. So often, when I was a young monk, I heard Rebbe Master say this, look with the mind of a Buddha, and you will see the heart of a Buddha. It's interesting that from the days of Shakyamuni Buddha himself, you know, in Buddhism, if there was a disagreement among the monks, or if there was disharmony in the Sangha, basically the most you're allowed to do is just go train somewhere else or go sit somewhere else. You know, the slandering, defaming of one another, the doubting of one another, that's simply not the Buddhist way, truly. No matter what anyone is doing, we need to always, for our own sake, continue to believe in their capacity to realize and to express the truth fully. Otherwise, we hurt ourselves. I'd like to point out with each of these precepts again, yesterday I was talking with, was it Reverend Olaf and Reverend Clement? I think maybe. And we were talking and one or the other or both of them, and I actually thought, well, let's say we make a little list of the precepts, the 10 precepts, and then make a little list next to it of what you could say would be the corresponding kind of spiritual quality that we're cultivating by working on that precept, the kind of positive expression of the precept. So about killing, it could be, say, a precept about not killing, reverence for all life, precept on stealing, generosity, precept on coveting, gratitude, precept on lying, integrity, precept on the wine of delusion, all acceptance, precept on being proud, humility, precept on being mean and giving dharma or wealth, generosity, precept on, which I've said once before already, precept on speaking against others, respect, precept on anger, compassion, patience, sympathy, precept on defaming the three treasures, faith and trust. just by training ourselves without trying to accumulate some kind of or build some kind of edifice of virtue, but just by training ourselves and trying to hold fast to the eternal through the different circumstances of daily life, these spiritual qualities or virtues are just naturally exemplified in one's daily life. They are natural expressions of the following of the eternal. As soon as one grasps after any of them, it's gone. It turns into something else. And you get worldliness again. You know, be beyond both the holy and the unholy. Don't wallow in the indulgence of the causes of suffering. And don't try to be virtuous and be proud of being virtuous. Just meditate. Listen to your own heart. Ask with sincerity when you need help. And follow where the heart leads. Then the precepts become a description, a natural description of one's actions, and one is not most of the time consciously focusing on the precepts, frankly. And the paramitas become the positive description of one's actions, but one is not trying to be virtuous. One is just doing what needs to be done, living from one's heart.